Howdy, Caffeinistas, and welcome to Lattes with Dr. Llama, where we live for wool and bleed espresso. I'm your host, Dr. Llama. Today, we're honored to have the author and designer behind Tiny Owl's Knits joining us. Stephanie Dosen is a unicorn-loving fiber artist living in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. Her first collection of knitting patterns, entitled Woodland Knits, was chosen by the editors of Amazon.com as the best craft book of 2013. Stephanie spends the other half of her time writing forest songs with her band Snowbird, with Simon Raymond and the Cocteau Twins. They just released their debut album, Moon, featuring members of Radiohead. Stephanie, I'm thrilled to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
So to get us started off, where do you find your design inspiration?
Well, I sort of seems like I find it almost everywhere I look. Every time I see something, I think, like, can I knit that? Like, if I see someone riding a bicycle, I'm like, that bicycle is beautiful. You think I could knit one? There's some knitwear designer. Oh, who is it? Oh, gosh. I should run up and get my book. But she, well, I know her name, too, but I'm losing it. But she knitted a boat. And I just feel like everything I see, I want to knit. So, you know, animals. I see animals. I want to knit them. I think there's a squirrel in my tree right now outside, and I really want to knit it.
So what is your design process like?
So mostly, I guess it starts with the idea. I carry around a little sketchbook and just put every idea I have in there, and it's so thick. And then sometimes it takes almost a year for something to actually come into fruition. So the process can take a long time. I mean, sometimes if I have the right wool at the right time, then I can start. But for me, the trouble really seems to be like finding the perfect wool for the idea or yarn for the idea. So once I find the yarn, then I'm ready to go. But the idea definitely comes first. And then I knit it. And then I rip it out. And then I knit it. And then I rip it out. And then I knit it. And I rip it out.
I have no idea what that's like.
Insane. Well, I'm not a big gauger, and I think gauging is the most important thing there is in knitting. I say this officially on the record, but I just kind of go like, oh, I think 100 stitches would be about right, you know, and I just start going in. It's my own fault.
I made a pair of socks recently that I think I wound up tearing out 8 times before finally gauging and checking gauge.
Yeah. Terrible. Why do we do it? Because we're like, we can do it. Oh, I got this. I can do this.
Exactly. Every time I'm convinced that this is the time I know exactly how many stitches are in a sock with this wool, with these needles.
Yes. How could you be wrong? You've done it so many times before. Oh, wait, what? This wool is like, and just, it'll surprise you.
They will. So are you somebody that'll use the same brand of wool and, you know, kind of get it in the same place over and over? Or are you the kind of person that likes to find kind of new and exotic fibers?
You know, this is the part about me that is really weird. It's like, I don't care. I just want wool in my hands. It's the right color right now. Like, I will use anything. And if I find something that I can get readily, it's all about being able to source it and for other people to be able to get the same thing. You know, because that's the tough thing as a designer. I love more than anything to find some super strange wool that no one's ever heard of and make this gorgeous garment of it. And then I get, you know, 500 emails of people like, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? Where can I get something like that? And I'm like, you know what? I don't know. Some elves made this underground. It's never been seen before by human eyes. And you have to, like, do a magic spell and turn around 3 times. I don't know how to get it. So
basically, it's made in Narnia.
Yeah, it's made in Narnia. It's part lion mane and beaver tail. So good luck. But so my thing as a designer, and I want to support like the little guys, but I also need to know that my people who purchase the pattern are going to be able to get wool that works with it. So it's a really dance that I'm not a big fan of dancing, and I have to dance it. But so I do tend to use some things that are a little more readily available, just because of the amount of emails that you get when you use something weird. I'm so tempted to use everything weird, though. I have this, oh, my gosh, I bought this stuff at, it was, like, at iKnit London, I think it was, like a craft show in London, and it's this fur wool that's made of cashmere. So it's actually fur, and it's like stone colored. It's like an off white, and I want to make something out of it so bad. But it doesn't even have a label, so I didn't even know what it was, and I can't. What do I say to people who want it? It's ugh. Anyway, sorry. I guess we got on one of my trials and tribulations as a designer.
A friend of mine went on a trip to Estonia and brought me back this gorgeous hand-spun wool. I made a beautiful shawl out of it. I patterned it up. I was super excited and then suddenly realized that I would have to start it over. Because I can't list a pattern with wool you can't buy.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't suggest people hop a train to Estonia and hope for the best.
Right. I mean, I stick a few things in there sometimes that are brands that just are, you know, really, really obscure, and I try to put substitutions and things like that in there just because sometimes, you know, people do have weird wool that they want to use, but it's really a no-no as a designer, I think. You know,
I agree with you. And it's hard because it is so fun to use that one-of-a-kind stuff.
Yes. And it's so inspiring. Like, that cashmere stuff wants to be this, like, beastie jacket. Like, just kind of it just wants to be that so bad. I feel so guilty just making something like that for myself. Like, everything I make, I'm like, I gotta write this down. You know, and so that's where
I completely understand. I get really weird about making something that I can't sell the pattern of.
Yeah. It feels like you're being so selfish and you're just like, I don't know, it's such a weird feeling. And you know what I do is I'm like, this is just for me, and then I end up writing it up anyway, and I'm like, no one's going to like this. I do the beekeeper's quilt. That's what the beekeeper's quilt was. I'm like, no one's going to like this. Who would do this? Just me.
You know what? People love the beekeeper's quilt, though. I've seen so many projects of it.
Yeah, that was the surprise, I think. That was what, I wasn't even going to put a pattern up, and if I did, I was going to make it free. You know, I just was like, oh, no one would do this. You'd have to be insane. But I loved it. You know, I personally loved it. So
it's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun to make. I loved every minute of it, so I'm glad people are digging it.
Well, and speaking of beautiful stuff you've made, I have a complete obsession with your Where the Wild Things Are jumper. Like, it's one of those pieces. The first time I saw it, I had, like, this weird rage reaction because I was so mad at myself for not thinking of it first. I love it so much.
I know that.
I'm obsessed with the little crown that comes off.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. It's so fun to wear. I wear it over everything because it's so long. It, like, goes over leggings. It's, like, it's one of my uniforms. I mean, I don't wear it with the crown all the time, obviously, but I wear it
right.
all the time. All the time.
Not everywhere you go
can
have a crown. But so
yeah,
what's your favorite piece you've ever made?
Because I don't. Sorry, what's that?
What's your favorite piece you've ever made?
I think, let's see. Everything I make is because I really want it. So I love my moon pooses. They're like fringy boots because I wear them every single day and they keep my feet so warm. And then I'm really proud of the fairy wings because I really wanted to make fairy wings that were like super, 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 super easy because I hate like all that mess. You know, when you try to make wings for costumes or something, you're messing with like wire hangers and everything and it just gets really crazy. And these are like, you bend the wire in half and secure it and then just kind of bow it out a little bit. Like, I don't know. They're like the easiest things in the world. Like, a five-year-old could make them, and that makes me really excited because I think they're,
and they're so pretty.
Pretty. Thank you. I think they just, after so many prototypes, like, I was just laying in bed at night, like, trying to figure out the construction. Like, how can you make these so that, like, they're just easy? Because wings are just always seem so... Yeah, hard to make. And, you know, you got to make wings. So, I mean, that's not even a question.
Right.
The wings have to be made. It's just a question of how. And I think I'm just really happy with the results. So I love wearing those little dudes.
Well, and I love that you brought up the fairy wings because one of the questions I wanted to ask you is I've noticed that a lot of your work is kind of inspired by fairies or has sort of a fairy focus. Are you a Tinkerbell girl or an Oberon girl?
You know what? I sort of delve into all aspects of fairy. So, I don't know. I think I'm like the shimmering sort of other, the ones on the other dimension, like fifth dimensional fairy, elemental sort of tree spirit kind of fairy. So like working together with the realms that help run the nature realm, I guess. So I'm like a nature realm fairy, maybe. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Absolutely
well,
not.
No, it does. And I think that anyone looking at your work can definitely see the influence that really sort of the more natural, the nature-based designs have had.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorite pieces of yours is that raccoon jumper.
The what?
Or I'm sorry, the bear jumper.
Oh, I was like, oh no, I'm like, I didn't hear raccoon. Oh, thank you. Oh, I love him too.
Well, and I love
I
color
work. I don't mean to be like, I love my own work, but my stuff still really excites me because I can't believe that I made it. You know, I just kind of make it and I'm like, it's so cute. Oh my gosh. I don't look at it as like, I'm so awesome, I made that. I look at it like, that's like, it's just a separate from me. You know what I mean? I don't know. So
right.
I still have an appreciation for it because I don't take like 100% credit for it. It just feel like it just kind of, I don't know, it's just something outside of me. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, I think
so
that's
I still
awesome.
Love wearing him too. He's like so, he's so cuddly
so
as well.
So we're coming up on the end of our time, but I have a couple last questions. This
mm-hmm.
is a show that is highly run on caffeine. So what is
okay.
your caffeinated beverage of choice?
I love coffee. I am coffee obsessed. And so I just take it like black coffee as thick and as strong as you can get it. I love espresso. I love, sometimes I'll just get like cafe Americano or just cappuccino,
mm-hmm.
and anything. I'll drink anything that you give me that has coffee. But the stronger, the better. I
yeah.
love it just to like rip my face off. I want to be able to like,
you would fit
like,
in
supply.
So well at our office. We need to have you out to Philadelphia.
Okay. If we're
all right.
Coffee causes pain.
Yeah, we'll drink really strong coffee together.
That would be wonderful.
So final question. If you were stranded on a desert island and could only take one type of yarn with you, what would it be and why?
Well, okay, if I'm stranded on a desert island, then I'm going to take a rope so I can make myself like, a little hammock so I can sleep. So, like, that's the practical side of me. So if you're saying, like, I only get one wool forever, but I already have a hammock that I can sleep in and, like, protection, and I don't need rope for, like, trapping my meals and stuff, then
yeah,
I
we'll
say
that there's a hut on the island and
I'm
you
good.
Have rope
I'm good.
Stuff.
Okay, I'm protected, so I don't need, like, this isn't survival mode yarn. This is, like, luxury. So it's,
right.
I mean, it's gotta be like cashmere. I mean, it's just, there's, I don't know how anyone could answer anything else. Because it was just a really beautiful, soft, you know, softly spun cashmere, and it would be just like in natural colors, and oh my gosh, yeah, that's my dream wool. Is that, that's
right,
what we'll say, but it's true.
Yeah. You know what, though? Actually, I love that your first answer was rope, so you could make a hammock.
Right. I need to, like, be comfortable first.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta have priorities.
Yeah. I need rope for survival. So, and you can knit out of rope. I've seen it done, so.
Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for being here. We loved having you. If you're ever in the Philadelphia area, drop us a line.
Oh, thank you so much. And hi to everybody. And thanks for having me.
Caffeinistas, I hope you've enjoyed this as much as I have. Stop by Tiny Owl Knits on Ravelry, Etsy, and WordPress and show Stephanie some love. You can find her book, Woodland Knits, on Amazon, and I highly recommend it. Until next time, knit fast and die warm.